From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. I'm Abby Larico. It's Monday, June 1st. To some historians, though, Missouri is living 50 years in the past, with high inflation, soaring interest rates, increasing energy demand.
War in the Middle East, high oil prices, energy shocks. Yep, there are a lot of 70s vibes that we're experiencing today.
How those vibes are playing into a debate over billion-dollar nuclear projects in the state. That's coming up after this news on The Gateway. Federal cuts to programs like SNAP loomed over state budget negotiations as Illinois lawmakers closed out the spring legislative session. The nearly $56 billion state budget passed early this morning. It includes new taxes on digital ads, social media, prediction markets, cryptocurrency, and fantasy sports. It also tackles funding gaps following new federal restrictions on SNAP benefits. Democratic State Representative Robin Gable says the bill addresses people's most pressing needs.
The uncertainty in Washington and the resulting affordability crisis facing families has emphasized our need to be surgical in our approach to building this budget.
The budget now awaits Governor J.B. Pritzker's signature. ICE plans to deport a custodian from the Maplewood-Richmond Heights School District after he fled political prosecution in Nicaragua 4 years ago. As St. Louis Public Radio's Heba Ahmed reports, Boanieres Flores Bravo was detained during a regular immigration check-in with ICE.
His wife, Alba del Socorro Matamoro Hernandez, also works in the school district. The couple was seeking asylum in the U.S., but now she says she was instructed to self-deport to Nicaragua. She said her daughter is sad to leave the St. Louis area.
Because she wants to at least stay to study and finish the third grade here.
An ICE spokesperson said in a statement to STLPR, quote, being in detention is a choice, and encourage immigrants without legal status to self-deport. Flores Bravo's story comes as immigration arrests have nearly tripled in Missouri since President Trump took office last year. I'm Heba Ahmed, St. Louis Public Radio.
Missouri's hot weather rule takes effect today. That means utilities will not be allowed to shut off service if the temperature is forecast to be above 95 degrees within 3 days. Disconnections will also be paused if the heat index will be above 105. Ameren Missouri's latest data shows almost 200,000 customers are behind on their bills. They owe about $180 on average. In April, more than 11,000 Ameren customers had their service shut off for failure to pay. Members of the St. Louis Board of Aldermen say they still want to work with St. Louis's Board of Police Commissioners. That's even after members of that police board failed to appear before a city budget committee, despite being issued a subpoena. St. Louis Public Radio's Kayvon Mansouri has more.
Members of the Budget Committee voted to subpoena commission members to appear before the board to explain their $250 million budget request. But on Wednesday, only a lieutenant with the police department appeared with 1,700 pages of budgetary information. It's the latest in a series of fights between city leaders and the state-run police department over the budget that city leaders say could cause mass layoffs of city workers. Ward 14 Alderman Rasheen Aldridge chairs the Budget Committee.
We're kind of the parents in the room, and they're being the little kids, and they shown very clearly by not showing up. They have not gained respect and trust amongst residents.
The board can issue warrants for commission members, but Aldridge says he hopes to avoid any escalation. I'm Kayvon Mansouri, St. Louis Public Radio.
St. Charles County voters could decide on school-related ballot questions in November elections instead of April. A bill will place races for school boards, bond issues, and tax increases in November of even-numbered years. It would also allow candidates to place their political affiliation next to their names. The bill's House handler, Republican State Representative Richard West, says he hopes the measure boosts civic participation in important educational decisions.
We have huge elections in November. Then come April, people are just... they're tired with the political process. They don't know or they don't understand what's going on with it. And then they either don't vote or they forget to vote or they're just too busy.
Among the criticisms of the bill is the idea that school-related contests in November could get lost among high-profile statewide and state legislative races. The bill is awaiting Governor Mike Kehoe's signature. A St. Charles venue that hosted decades of proms, wedding receptions, and graduation parties has been demolished. As St. Louis Public Radio's Katie Gravich reports, the site of the Heart of St. Charles Banquet Center is heading into the next phase of a multi-year redevelopment.
The awning covering the floor-to-ceiling glass entrance came down with a crash as an excavator chomped into the building. It first opened as a restaurant in the 1960s before becoming the Heart of St. Charles from 1992 to when it closed 7 years ago. Property owner and developer Sherry Steffen says watching her longtime business crumble was surreal.
When you're young and going into business, you don't think, okay, and in 30 years I'm coming back to tear it all down again.
The development project will end with the construction of two hotels and a restaurant at the site. A Fairfield Inn is slated to open in winter 2028 with a parking garage to support it and another hotel already on site. I'm Katie Gravich, St. Louis Public Radio.
That was Katie's last story assignment as our STLPR Spring Newsroom intern. Katie, you've just been the best. We're so appreciative of the time and dedication you put into every assignment you did here for us and for our community. We're really excited to see what you do next. The St. Louis region saw more than 20 restaurants open their doors last month. Upscale restaurant Aubrey opened in what used to be Small Batch in Midtown, and Sibo Italian brought Modern Italian to a former service station in University City. Also in U City, ramen shop Kishimoto Mendo from Stephen Pursley, which is bigger than Pursley's Menu Rui, but still features hand-pulled noodles. The St. Louis Chess Club opened American Bistro and Wine Cellar The Noble Crown in the Central West End, and Stella Blues Bar came back to Tower Grove South after a fire in 2024. Bar manager Zoe McKelvey has been working since then to reimagine the space.
And we've very fortunately had 2 years to kind of perfect ourselves and our craft and hone in on what we see the Stella Blues vision being and how we want to move forward.
Mexican restaurants Jekyll and Hyde opened in Skinker de Bolivar and Sobremesa in St. Charles. As for closings, Clayton lost French restaurant Bistro La Floraison and Il Palato. Flexitarian restaurant Station Number 3 closed in Kirkwood, and Tasty Bowls closed in Fairview Heights. For more restaurant openings and closings, visit stlpr.org. This spring, Missouri lawmakers sparred over whether to build and how to fund construction of new nuclear power plants. And as Jana Rose Schleiss reports, the potential for new multi-billion dollar nuclear projects has reignited a 50-year-old debate.
Historian Victor McFarland studies the past for a living, and he says we've seen this before. In the 1970s, after years of growth, electricity demand spiked. Inflation was high, and so were interest rates.
War in the Middle East, high oil prices, energy shocks. Yeah, there are a lot of 70s vibes that we're experiencing today.
McFarland teaches energy history at the University of Missouri and says due to these compounding factors, 50 years ago, the American government and industry committed to boosting domestic energy sources.
So that was the only period of substantial nuclear power plant construction in the United States.
Now in 2026, energy demand is again projected to skyrocket due to the expansion of AI data centers, electric vehicles, and growth in manufacturing. And government and industry are once again looking to nuclear power as an answer.
I think we're facing some of the same choices right now. Do utilities engage in another big program of building out new electric plants to meet this anticipated electric demand?
To help utilities make investments in new power plants, last year the Missouri legislature passed what's called Construction Work in Progress, or CWIP. The law allows energy companies to bill customers for the cost of building new power plants before they're operating and producing energy. But in the 1970s, Missourians were frustrated over their utility bills going up and took to the ballot to ban CWIP.
It burns me up that the legislature last year would just cavalierly toss out what we passed in 1976 by a 63% margin.
Jeanette Mott Oxford is board president of the Consumers Council of Missouri, a consumer advocacy organization. Oxford says Missourians shouldn't be on the hook for what they see as a risky investment. Now, the Consumers Council is asking the Missouri legislature to pass a resolution putting QIP back on the ballot, and as a constitutional amendment this time.
It became apparent that if you were going to pass anything, you had to do it as a constitutional amendment because the legislature would mess with it if you didn't.
Currently, corporate utility Ameren operates the only commercial nuclear power plant in Missouri, and the company has been clear about its desire to expand. Ameren lobbyist Rob Dixon says Missourians now have more consumer protections than they did in the 70s, including clawback measures if a project fails to meet certain metrics.
The discussion around QIP today is quite a bit different than it was 50 years ago, and the law that was passed last year allows for significant improvements in it.
With an expensive long-term investment like nuclear power, MU Energy economist Michael Sikuta says customers can essentially pay up front or pay more later.
The issue of paying later is there's an interest expense that accumulates over that time. And when you're talking about hundreds of millions or billion-dollar investments, that's a lot of interest.
Sikuta says without QIP, chances of new nuclear power in Missouri decrease, and increasing electricity demand will have to be met with other sources. Amid the energy crisis of the 1970s, Missourians voted against paying upfront for power plants. Within a decade, energy demand leveled out, inflation and interest rates eventually shrank, and oil and gas prices stabilized. Now, some advocates want to know what voters would say, given similar circumstances, 50 years later. I'm Jana Roschleiss.
That story comes to us from member station KBIA in Columbia. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, thanks for listening to The Gateway.